This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at an employees seminar held on March 18, 2026 in Millersburg, Ohio.
Some things just never change. We've been in business for about 50 years, and we've seen a lot of change. That, in fact, that's probably before most of you were born. And we've seen a lot of change, but there are some things that just do not change. A couple months ago, I walked up to the shop. I don't have an office in the shop anymore, but I went up there to get my mail. And once in a while, not always, I walked out into the shop. And I just walked through the door, and I saw Stephen leading a tour through the shop. Here were about four or five key people from a company that we were anticipating would be one of our best customers this coming year. As I walked outside the door, there was a mighty crash. One of those things that never changes is if we are in the shop and there's a mighty crash, my heart drops, stops, and rolls. And it still does. I just stood there and listened. I didn't hear anyone scream. But you can imagine some of the after effects. But that's one of the things that just has never changed. When something happens. And thank you, Chad and Matt, for allowing me to share something that probably not one of our finer moments. Safety. The safety effect, basically why we practice safety and fire prevention. That's what this is about. Yesterday, we heard something about people being the greatest asset we have in business. Now, if that is true, how much value will these people bring to us if they're maimed, hurt, or die on the job? So if they are the greatest asset we have, probably it is worthwhile investing a little bit in preserving that asset. So safety, I like to think of it this way, is some things. It is protecting those we love. It is preventing pain and suffering. I just had to think this morning of a couple of men or people from our community that are in the burn center, and they are in pain and they are suffering. So safety, awareness, and practicing safety is preventing that pain and suffering. Now, as we speak here, the statistics tell us that in the U.S. there are some over 4,500 fatalities, workplace fatalities every year. That is about one every 2 hours. Now, since we started this morning, a couple of people here in America have lost their life in a workplace accident. And in that same 2 hours, 930 people have gone to the hospital for medical care as a result of a workplace accident. 930 of them. I look over the crowd here, And I know that in the workplace, lots of time we think these safety applies to the men in the workplace out there working. And we have quite a few girls, young women here today, and I'd like to speak specifically to you at this point. Just last night, I had a conversation with a first responder from here in the area, and we talked a little bit about workplace accidents. He said, quite frankly, I can't think of any that we've responded to lately. It's been a while. Most accidents, if you're a mother at home, the risk of you being involved or having to respond to an accident is probably greater than us that go out into the workplace. So the things that you learn at work in our safety meetings and awareness meetings can bring a lot of value to you at home, on the road, places like that. I like to think of safety, fire prevention, as freedom from injury, damage, loss, steps we can take to reduce risk or danger. Things like smoke detectors and fire extinguishers can help us reduce that risk. Years ago, one of our boys had just moved into an older home and used the fireplace on Sunday morning. They had company. They were still in bed. The fire detectors, the smoke detectors, sounded off. And they barely got out of the house. So there are steps, there are things we can do to reduce the risk, and that is one of them, have smoke detectors that actually work. The fire chief told them, if it would not have been for that smoke detector, you would not be here anymore. The smoke would have gotten you before you got out. The same way with fire extinguishers, just make sure that they work. Another thing that safety is simply common sense and wisdom. I like to think of that. That's the opposite of foolish. And if we think about that in safety, Proverbs 4 tells us that to choose wisdom, get wisdom, understanding, forget it not. And in safety, I like to think of that as practice safety. Use common sense and don't forget. And another thing is the opposite of common sense is foolish, and sometimes we actually do foolish things and we take foolish risks. Back in January, there was a guy in one of the skyscrapers in one of the cities in Taiwan crawled a 101-story skyscraper without the aid of any ropes or protective equipment. Now, to me, that is taking foolish risks. But people do that, and sometimes we do too. Another thing that is, when we think about why we practice safety, I like to think of this is one of them, and that is simply, it is our moral duty. Accidents, are they God's will? Sometimes we default to something happens, well, it was God's will. Let's be careful. We can tempt God, and we can even blame God for our own shortcomings. Yes, God allows things to happen, but we are creatures of choice. In other words, we were created to make our own choices. We have to also accept the fact that those choices have consequences, and we have to deal with those. So again, choose life. God allows you to actually choose. Making battlements. In Deuteronomy 22, Moses instructed, or some of the part of the law, was that we as fathers, heads of household, are to provide battlements. Back in those days, a lot of their houses had flat roofs. People would go up there in the evening to retire. The children would be up there playing, and they were commanded to build railings to keep people from falling off. And why? Because if you did not and someone fell off, you would bring blood on your house. My brother's keeper, you as in the workplace have a moral Christian obligation to watch out for your brother. We as fathers at home have a moral Christian obligation to minimize risk and protect those in our care. It's one of our moral Christian duties. Presumptuous attitude is simply bold and confident to excess. Now, we all know people like that, and sometimes we even admire people that are bold and they take risks. Let's be careful. We can get away with a lot, but I have to think back years ago, especially up in Michigan and Wisconsin, there was a lot of hardwood forests, and they had loggers' camps where men were employed to take these logs out, float them down the river, take them to the mills, and so on. And there was an expression that they used. There were old loggers, and there were bold loggers, but there were no old, bold loggers. Negligence, another thing, if we're careless, especially as fathers or as leaders or you as supervisors, if you're careless and don't care and people get hurt, maimed, or killed on the job, you can actually be charged for negligence. And then failing to plan is planning to fail. Years ago, there was this couple that traveled to a foreign country. They were on a world tour, and they got to this place where there was this ski lift that would take them up to the top of the mountain. There was supposed to be a splendid view up there, and they got in line to get on the cars. Most of you know how that works. You get on this car, and a cable, it will take you up to the top of the mountain. And as they were standing there waiting, they looked at the cable, and some of it was a little franzly, it was frayed, and it didn't look too healthy. So the guy turned to the attendant there, and he says, the cable there, when do you replace or change that cable? And he just looked at him and he said, well, when it breaks. Failing to plan is planning to fail. Who wants to get on something like that? Okay, another reason why we practice safety is it's the law. OSHA. Most of you, especially you guys on construction jobs, OSHA is a nuisance, right? Just keep in mind that what OSHA does and has done is one of the reasons that you live or die on the job. It's one of those resources. It's so easy. Okay, we don't have time to comply with OSHA. It costs too much. We can't get our work done if we comply with OSHA. My question is, some people do. Some people actually do comply. So why couldn't you? Those laws, regulations are there for a reason. They are a result of learning from past experience. Wage and hour labor laws, we're going to leave that. Just be honest in your reporting. Building codes, exit signs, firewalls, things like that. They are required for a reason. They are required for your safety when you're on the in the workplace. And I can think of one of my not so finer moments too. Years ago, in the early years, we had a new building, and it was required that we had these exit signs that lit up at night. And I didn't have any extra money, and I thought it was kind of foolish. Everyone in the shop can see the exit doors. So I borrowed someone else's and put them up so we could pass the inspection. It's not one of my finer moments. That's not honest. It's not ethical. I regret that. But rules of the road. Most of you travel to and from work, and I can, I'll just share this. When we meet with law enforcement, local or at the state level, or legislators, there are four things that they always bring up. One is e-bikes, tractors on the road, golf carts, and buggies. They're concerned about our safety. Just know what the rules are and follow and obey. In other words, keep a couple things in mind. Be visible, comply, and be respectful. Romans 13. Whosoever resisteth the power, you can read it up there, resisteth to the ordinance of God, they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 13, I sometimes think, is one of the easier to understand scriptures and probably the most ignored ones. Preferential treatment. I don't know how many times we get requests from people in our playing community that, why don't you ask for this from our government or ask for this? And I don't know why it is that we have so many people that for some reason think and expect that somehow we deserve special treatment because I am Amish. You know, every other American would like to have special preferential treatment too. And quite frankly, we don't deserve any more special treatment than any other American does. And I would just ask you that some of you in your workplaces are going to deal with OSHA, the EPA, the wage and hour people, workers' comp, the list goes on and on. This is something that I would personally ask and request of everyone here. If that happens, keep a couple things in mind. Stay calm and be respectful. Those people are just like we are. And I can tell you from working with those people and trying to help some of our Amish people with some of their issues, it can get embarrassing. When we have to help someone that has done something that they knew was not honest and not ethical, now we have to pick up the pieces and try to mend things between the regulatory and the Amish business owner. So stay calm, be respectful, and do what you can to put things back in order the way it should be. It tarnishes and stains our testimony. Another reason we practice safety is because we want to maintain a good quality of life. And for this next exercise here, I need a little bit of help. I asked a young man to come up here and help me, so why don't you come up here? But while he's coming up here, I'd just like to share something with you. Back in 1994, a young man, a 15-year-old man, you can stay right there, a young man here in Holmes County, 15 years old, lost his life in a workplace accident. And we heard about purpose this morning already and yesterday. And this young man was killed in a workplace accident. And as a result, one of our local safety consultants came to the steering committee and and our local leaders and said, look, you have to do something. I see too many young men and women with missing fingers or hands, things like that. And out of that, we started the Amish Safety Committee. But what are these missing parts worth? Your name is Arlen. I'd like to have your hand here. Why don't you hold it up like that? Okay, you see he's got a thumb and four fingers. Okay, Arlen, just keep it up there. I need one of those fingers for a research project. Okay, so I'm willing to pay for it. In fact, I've got the guilt. But I'd like to buy one, and if we can settle on a price, we'll go back here in the corner. I'm going to chop it off, and it shouldn't hurt too much. And it's, after all, just one of the fingers. We can even decide which one. But how much would $1,000? Would you want to sell one for $1,000?
I doubt it.
No? What if I, maybe $10,000?
You'd still be missing a finger.
Well, what, $100,000?
I don't know.
So he's not even willing to sell a finger for $10,000, probably not for $100. So why do we take shortcuts to save a couple minutes or a couple of dollars and put these fingers at risk? Just keep in mind the value of those things as you go about your work. You can go back, take your seat. Maybe you can make a better deal than I could. And beware of peer pressure. I know years ago when we were young, there were no safety meetings, there were no safety awareness meetings, hearing protection. If you needed hearing protection, you were considered a sissy. When we used a hand grinder, and we did a lot, we didn't wear safety glasses. We just kind of squinted our eyes like this and tried to avoid most of the sparks. And when we painted, we didn't wear a mask. That was just for sissies. Can you imagine? We actually did. I painted and got up the next morning and I could spit and still tell what color paint I applied the day before. And then hearing, that's why I go around, what did you say? So I'm just sharing this, encouraging you, there are reasons why those things are required. The quality of life. And your behavior affects others. One of the things that comes to my mind is horseplay. Just last week at the safety conference, someone shared that there were two young men that were actually horse playing with each other with skill saws. And one of them got his finger cut off. I mean, yeah. And we had it at work. I can remember years ago, you know, when it snows, people, young men like to throw snowballs, and they threw snowballs in the shop, created wet areas. Someone else came along with a forklift, didn't realize, applied the brakes, and it didn't stop, and it crashed into a toolbox containing over a ton of tooling and tipped it over. What if someone would have been on the other side? That's why we have a zero-tolerance workplace policy in the shop. And carrying the burden of guilt. When something happens, I can still remember Bishop Enos King from Lancaster County. Listen to his story. He was a farmer, and they were grinding feed. And there was a in the feed mixer, there's glasses, there's sight glasses where you can see how full it is. And one of those had fallen out, so he stopped everything, and he sent his son inside to put that in place. And you know what happens? What can happen? We get distracted. Someone came to see Bishop Enos King, and they talked for a while. And then he went back on the tractor and started things up and put it in gear and started feeding grain into this grinder. And he was grinding for a while, and then he went up top to check, and then he saw a straw hat floating on top of the feed. There was not a dry eye in that room when he told that story, but that guilt goes on and on and on. Then the cost. The burden to society is another reason why we practice safety. Fire stations. Did you ever think about the fact that if we all practiced safety and there were no accidents and no fires, we wouldn't need fire stations? Up in Kidron, they've just built a new one a couple years ago. Fredericksburg is in the process right now. And I asked a couple of those guys, what does a new fire station cost? Well, between $3 and $4 million. And that's just in Wayne County. Just think of all the fire stations we have, the cost to keep that. And then the equipment, a new ambulance, equipped, ready to go, is close to $500,000 today. The same way with a tanker. About $500,000 just to put them on the road. Now, getting back to all these fatalities and people that go to the hospital every day, every hour, a couple hours here in America, the cost of that medical care is absolutely mind-boggling. $176 billion a year. Now, let's take it down to a little bit more of a local level. Okay, we just got our worker aid report last night. $5 million here in the state of Ohio, just in the Amish community. $5 million. And then our Brunschotter, the fire aid just for Holmes County is about $1 million. Okay, there's $6 million in the last year. So, well, it's just $6 million, but did you realize that that would pay for 600 $10,000 trotters? If you put it in context, the annual cost. Now, first responders. I'm sure we have, how many of you are first responders, serve on a fire department? I mean, raise your hand. I thought we would have more. I tip my hat to those guys. I really do. You know what happens when we make a bad choice and an accident or a fire? What do we do? We call 911, right? What do we expect that now happens? We expect someone to show up, and we expect that they know what to do and how to respond when they get there. But did you ever think about them? It doesn't matter what the weather, it doesn't matter what the time, they leave their loved ones, their wife, their children, and they come to help us because we made a mistake, and sometimes a foolish mistake. So let's remember that when we have, when we make those choices, there are consequences. Not only that, but when they show up, they have already made a commitment that they will, they are willing to put their life on the line to save us and our loved ones. In fact, to go inside a burning building to rescue someone if that's what is needed. And they don't even get paid for this. They do it because they want to help their fellow man. Now, just about 6 weeks ago, there was a fire in our local community. 6 o'clock on a Saturday evening. Okay, when the rest of us were ready to sit down and eat, share pizza with the family in a relaxed manner, the call came in. The first responders dropped everything and took off. And there was a fire in a buggy shed. And at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, 15 vehicles and 40 personnel showed up to fight this fire and help this family. 15 of these $500,000 vehicles and 40 men that left their loved ones and the pizza and went to help someone in distress. And I want to share that because that is part of the cost. And it also takes an emotional toll. They deal with some things that do take an emotional toll. So let's remember these guys in our prayers and as we make decisions. And when the time comes, at the end of the year, think about those people and their needs. Donate. Donate liberally to your local fire departments. And if you meet and see these first responders, express your appreciation for what they do for us and our communities. So I, again, back, the reason why we practice safety is it's a moral duty, it's God's law. We do it to preserve the quality of life, and we also do it to reduce the burden or the cost to our local communities. Now, who's responsible for all this? You are. The burden is on you, on us. We can choose to look the other way, and I'd like to refer at this point in time, in your booklet on page 27, is a poem. I chose to look the other way. I'm just going to read the last two paragraphs here. If you see a risk that others take that puts their health or life at stake, the question asked or thing you say could help them live another day. If you see a risk and walk away, then hope you never have to say, I could have saved a life that day, but I chose to look the other way. It's part of your responsibility in the workplace. Communicate if you observe hazards. In other words, communicate, talk, attend safety meetings. And if you do go to these safety meetings, pay attention. Be wide awake, because after all, it could be the difference between life or death for someone in your workplace. Uh, And training, safety awareness and training, just remember one thing. You will, in an emergency, you will never rise above the level that you have been trained. And it's not complicated, it's not that hard. I can remember years ago in school, we would get John Spurmer from the Kidron Fire Department out, talk to the children about basic for first aid and safety, maybe once a year, and he'd spend an hour and a half talking to the children and just sharing some things, but he showed them how to do the Heimlich maneuver. You're familiar with that. A year or two after that, one day, the school teacher, the children noticed that there was something wrong with her. She was already turning blue in the face. She couldn't breathe. She had a piece of a hot dog stuck in her throat. One of the seventh grade boys remember what John had said about the Heimlich maneuver, and he went up and he did that and it popped out. Today, she's a mother, a grandmother, and if it wouldn't have been for that, she would probably not be here. The training, that little bit of, but not above that level. So pay attention when you do training and awareness. Again, who's responsible? What do we do? Good housekeeping, pick up after yourself. Don't take shortcuts and risks. Slow down. Haste makes waste. And if you need corrected, if someone comes to you and say, look, maybe we really don't think it's a good idea for you to take your children down the back lane in the bucket of your skid loader. It really isn't, but take those reproofs with grace. And build a safe culture, a safety culture at work. In other words, choose life. And when we talk about culture, I like to think of it this way. It is basically what we say and do at work. So just make safety a part of everything you do. Now, to bring this kind of to a close, okay, I like to think of guardrails versus an ambulance. The guardrails are our awareness, our safety meetings, our teaching, our training, communication, that is the guardrails to keep us from going over the cliff. But we know and realize we live in a broken world, just like the mighty crash I said that happened a couple of months ago. We have a strong safety program. We have people that care about safety. Things still happen. Now someone has to be the ambulance and pick up the pieces. Awareness. Think about comfort. How comfortable are your coworkers to be working around you? I know years ago, when we were still young, we'd go hunting sometimes, and I know at least one or two times we had guys with us that walked around with a shotgun with the safety off and their hand on the trigger so they would be ready. I can tell you one thing, I was not very comfortable. So think about how comfortable you are making your coworkers as you go about your things. Now, getting to the last one, the burden of the message barrier. You know, when something happens, when something bad happens as a result of an accident, someone has to take this message of what happened to a mother, a wife, a girlfriend, brothers, sisters, whatever the case may be. Someone has that burden. Sometimes it's the first responders. Sometimes it's law enforcement. Someday it may be you. It's another reason why we practice safety. And I can share this with you. To take a message to someone and tell a wife that you have just become a widow. There's no way to prepare for that. To tell children and teenagers that your father is not coming home. About 8 years ago, we had a fatality in our church. A young man, 46 years old, lost his life instantly in an accident. When my wife and I got there, there was no one else there other than the family when we walked in. And this will be forever etched in my memory. I will never, ever forget that. There's no way that we can prepare the words to console someone at that stage. The anguish, the tears, the groaning. What do you say? All you can do is be there. And then the teenage boys, would you pray for us? What do you say? And we prayed with the family. We did. I had more questions than I had answers. But anyway, we prayed with the family. And we got back up and we sat there and we just wept with the family. And then one of the younger boys came with the Christian Pflicht. We Amish know what that's, our prayer book. And he said, Dad always prayed the children's prayer with us. Would you do that for us? I share that. That's one of the reasons why we practice safety. Someone has to be bear the burden of of carrying that message. Someone has to bear that message. And I'm sharing this because the next time it could be you. That's why we practice safety.